Cool
I think it's
stuff.
episode 9, isn't it?
Yeah, episode 9 of the On Record podcast. Joined by me and Luke this week. Obviously hot topics this week. I guess there's not a lot else to talk about other than Boris Johnson's announcement last night. Going into another lockdown. It's just the same old, basically. But there's not any changes, is there?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, I don't think anyone's surprised. I feel like everyone knew it was going to come at some point, whether it was, like, yesterday, in 2 weeks' time, or, do you know what I mean? Like, I think everyone knew it was coming. It's just a bit, like, I think everyone thinks it's a bit long, if that makes sense. So I feel like if he had just handled lockdown better the first time, there wouldn't be a need in the second one.
But you see, I've seen a few, like, graphs this morning of people, like, talking about how they've kind of just let it, the cases rise to the point now where I think they're basically what they're trying to do is obviously boost the economy as much as possible.
Yeah.
And then when it got to the point where our hospitals were probably about to
like breaking point.
Yeah, to break again, then they're now doing that lockdown. And then obviously they're probably going to open up again at Christmas time just to boost the economy again.
They said they're going to open it at what, like 2nd of December, which is what? Like, realistically, that's going to mean everyone's going to spend, like, say what, like 22 days all trying to do, like, Christmas shopping. They know that's going to do, like, a big boost. Yeah. And I feel like at the moment, like, especially with, like, Black Friday and stuff, most people do it online anyways. So, like, they know that's not going to affect it too much in that sense. It's just going to be, like, obviously won't be going shopping. And then they obviously know when they open back up, everyone that has it done online are going to do, like, last-minute Christmas shops. Which, if anything, I think is going to raise the figures right through the roof again.
I'm just like, it's just annoying because they frustrate me so much because even last night, did you watch the announcement?
No, I didn't. I heard bits of it,
it was meant to be at what, like 4 o'clock?
Four, I think.
Delayed till 5:30 and then delayed again till
like 6:30 apparently, but it was like 7 basically when it came on.
Yeah, so I watched it and basically for the first like 10-15 minutes of it was basically two guys that I can't remember what their names are, but
that like Chris guy
either side of him giving some shit like presentation about waffle, but it was just waffle, like they're just talking, you know, the way Boris Johnson just talks, like he doesn't like, say anything, just talk.
Yeah, it's nothing of substance. Yeah, I saw people saying like where are these graphs from, so apparently like I didn't, well, like clip art or whatever you call it.
Yeah, this is dead. And it went on about this for about 10-15 minutes. Then he did another load of waffle himself for about 10 minutes before just announcing what everyone wanted to hear, which was just what is going to happen.
Yeah. My thing with that, it really annoyed me because I was thinking, like, the news outlets already kind of knew, like, what, maybe a day or two before anyway. So I don't get why he longed it out. Like, I don't quite understand why he needs to delay it from 4. All he needs to do was say, like, right, guys, you're going back into national lockdown. That's basically all you need to say.
Yeah, so I know. Wanted to go over it. It's just because they do this. Basically, they give a lot of information, I think, to confuse people on purpose.
Yeah, 100%. And, like,
so then the little details about what they've done wrong. People have
fought through like the correct.
To be honest, at this point, I would hope that people that voted for this government don't do it again, but I don't believe that myself.
Yeah. I always just think everyone that voted for them anyways are going to do it again. Like, realistically, they've shown their arse so many times. Like, not even just in our lifetime, that people up north were, like, complaining about, like, Margaret Thatcher, yet up north voted for them. Do you know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
I feel like this country is so easy to forget especially, like, they did, like, what every government does. Like, even look at, like, the USA. Anything they say about immigration, like, just these Western societies is, like, so convinced that, like, people come into their country to take over. When in like the grand scheme of things, you're still the majority. They get so convinced that like...
Yeah, it ties into obviously what we were going to talk about a bit later about Corbyn and that kind of thing with...
Yeah.
Still voted for something that obviously that... I just it's obviously the good thing about this lockdown is that they've extended furlough. So that's for people that...
Yeah, I saw that.
Definitely in the hospitality industry or anything around that, they're going
to...
I guess. But it's so poorly organized, and as you said, like they've forgotten so quickly about the things they've done in the past with what Brexit as well. That was Conservative David Cameron, obviously, completely messed this up. And Boris Johnson was at the forefront of campaigning for Brexit, and look at the mess that's made as well.
Yeah, that's the thing. Like, the thing is with Boris, that's what I'm saying. Like, I'm shocked that other people voted him in, because they already knew he lied about Brexit when he said, like, what was it, 350 million was meant to go to the NHS?
Yeah.
And then he already came out and, like, admitted he lied about that. And then, what, like a year or two later, you guys voted him into power. And now you're now shocked about how he's handling things. So,
yeah,
it's just clear that.
I think the people that voted for him was a mixture of the people that always vote for him and for the Conservatives anyway, which is their own reasons. And you know what? Like, I don't agree with why they do it, but I understand why they do it for them. The reasons they vote for the Conservatives are for their reasons, and they will do that regardless because they care about certain things. Fair enough.
But I've always said, like, I think this country's, like, there's so many people in this country that's lost. So many people think that they're middle class when actually they are, like, I would say the majority of this country is working class. But they've got in that mindset, like, the government's told you that you're, like, if you are working class, you're still the upper end of it. Like, you're basically middle class. They believe that now, voted them in. But the Conservatives aren't doing anything that works for the majority of people, in my opinion. Like,
yeah, I think
why it's are people like now going out, like, to support food banks when realistically, isn't that what the government's there for? Like, to catch people that will slip through the nets instead of helping big corporations. Like, again, Marcus Rashford's not great and stuff, but, like, I think it's mad that the poorer people in society, anyways, it would be like your normal working class people that are doing it. I wouldn't say the middle class people are, like, running to support people. It's your normal working class, like, small businesses that are doing this.
Yeah, exactly. And that's the thing, like, I think it's a superiority complex in the sense of people, they think, I don't know what it is about British people, just they think for some reason, even having a little bit makes them better. As you said, like Marcus Rashford, big him up for what he's doing, that's an amazing thing.
100%.
And we should all donate to that 100%. We'll leave the link in the description to donate to that as well. That's just sad though. Like, why has a 22-year-old, 23-year-old footballer got to do that for the government? It's just ridiculous.
But that's why I think I don't even understand why you're making something as simple as feeding people. Like, hunger shouldn't even be a political thing. It should be.
Yeah, it's ridiculous.
Oh, are they going to be hungry? Cool, feed them. It doesn't matter. Like, I get people saying, like, what are their parents doing? Like, oh, you give them parents money and they're spending it on drugs instead of looking after their kids. My thing is, I don't care what their parents are doing with it. Like, it's annoying, but why would I then sit there and be like, oh, cool, but I'll let the kids starve then because their parents made a bad choice?
Exactly. Why are you punishing the kids for potential like, parental mistakes? It's not their fault for this. That's the whole point of this. I'm seeing people tweet, like, oh, you should be able to live off, oh, you can go to Lidl and buy 40p potatoes and go. But, like, yeah, cool. But that shouldn't be the, like, what we're telling people to do.
And
secondly, like, it's not that simple. Like, you know what it is? Let me tell you, flip. Like, basically, I think a lot of actual middle class people that vote for the Conservatives and are comfortable in a sense that don't necessarily rely on food banks and necessarily struggle or need money from the state or help from the state. I think they honestly, as you said, they truly believe that people's unfortunate kind of circumstances in life is a result of them and not of just kind of various factors that are uncontrollable, if you get what I mean. Like, it's and I think they're so, like, same with the government, like Boris Johnson and all, like, his people, they don't understand because they've never come from a background like that. They have absolutely no idea or concept of that kind of,
like, the actual world.
Yeah,
and that's why I think it's so mad that, like, realistically, when you look at most people that go into politics, it's your private school, like, upper class, middle class people that have never struggled a day in their life.
Yeah.
And probably, like, luckily for them, probably will never have to. That's why I find it mad that they're the ones that dominate politics. And I get, to some extent, I get, like, obviously, it's not like who you know that can always get you there, because obviously you still essentially have to get voted in by the people.
Yeah, yeah. But
I think British people are so happy to, like, stare at what, like, they would conceive as a success, even though they haven't looked at the backstory, like, oh, this person's dad was already in politics, like, they went to private school. They don't look at any of that. They're just like, oh, this person's saying what we, like, works for us. Because I think everyone in the UK just generally believes that at some point they will be middle class, which obviously everyone knows isn't going to happen. Like, there always needs to be those class system. Like, if everyone's middle class, then it just then turns into a working class, doesn't it? Like, they'll just move the goalposts.
I think
everyone's, like, striving to get that they generally believe that, oh, I might not be middle class right now, but under the Tories, they saying that we're going to do this, I will then be middle class. So in the long run, it's going to benefit me. Instead of looking at actually, like, how does it benefit me now?
Yeah, 100%. Like, people, like, for some reason, this country, they kind of enjoy suffering. I don't know what it is. Like, you see, I'm not 100%. Even, like, obviously, there's a lot of problems in France right now, which, yeah, we won't go into right now, but, like, they do right when things don't go. Like, they do actually.
They're just known for it, aren't they? Like,
but we in this country, like, we seem to enjoy, like, suffering. Like, you know the amount of times, yeah, you'll be like, oh, I don't want to work doing this. Oh, get on with it.
Yeah.
Like, you don't under that. Like, you should be doing a 9 to 5.
It's literally the struggle Olympics, isn't it? And especially, like, the older people are, you young don't know, like, about the struggles. I'm thinking, I think it's all, like, very selective in the time you're in. Like, I saw someone post saying, like, this person was born in 1900, so by the age of 14, they'd already just started the First World War. By the time they turned 18, the First World War was just ended. They were going on about, like, the Great Depression, and then they were like, our Second World War started. And I was thinking, that's all very subjective to their time. Like, their struggle was, like, why, like, a war was the biggest thing that you had to struggle. Granted, yeah, it's World War, but how does that correlate to, like, what I'm experiencing?
Yeah, exactly. Well, nothing to do with it. And why would you want to celebrate your life being terrible?
Literally, that's what I'm saying. I'm thinking,
and why do you want your now children to also hate them?
Literally, like, if anything, I think it creates more hate between, like, I get, like, a lot of the older people that, I guess anyone that's born in the 1900s probably ain't alive right now, let's be real. But, like, realistically, I feel like, if anything, it devalues, like, the respect you have for them. So I'm thinking, every time you bring it up, it's just to say, like, oh, you guys don't realise how easy you've got it. When realistically, yeah, they didn't have it easy either, but it's very subjective to the time. Like, everyone was going through that war, so everyone was going through a hard time. Everyone's going through the coronavirus, so everyone can still keep having a hard time. Do you know what I mean? It's not, I don't see where the point is in bringing it up.
Yeah, exactly. Why are you bringing, if you fought in the war, you're fighting to make the next generation's life easier, right? That's why you're fighting, right? So why are you now complaining about their life being easier?
Yeah, that's what I literally understand. And what you fought for is so that they don't ever have to go through that kind of war again.
Yeah.
So how are you now mad that the things that they're complaining about is something you've generally fought for? Like, you can't complain, like, oh, you guys, all you want to do is social media. Oh, how have you got stressed at, like, the age of 5 because of social media or whatever?
Yeah.
Like, that's what you fought for, so we never had to go through a war. It's generally, I think it's just all very subjective. I don't see, like, I never see the correlation. I don't quite understand what's the whole struggle in. It's like, oh, my granddad fought in the war. So, like, you're all snowflakes now because you're complaining about having to sit at home and thinking, well, yeah, it's a, like, everyone lives through stuff differently. Like, if it was a war, we say, then we can, that's the only time we can complain is when there's a world war. Do you know what I mean? Like,
no, that actually makes sense. I get what you mean about kind of it's subjective. I do get what you mean by that point.
Yeah.
You know, I know
it's just all relative. This is the time. You can't.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't see how you can compare a war to how people are dealing with situations now. It's
that makes sense actually. Obviously, because this is for us. This is something that we haven't dealt with. So
this is the biggest thing we've had to face.
Yeah.
And a war's the biggest thing they had to face. Like, I get it. Like, in the grand scheme of things, obviously, a war is a lot more to face. But I'm not facing that, so how can I then compare it?
Yeah. Why are we? Exactly. Why are we focusing on that when it's nothing to do with anything? Hopefully, in our lifetime, we'll ever have to deal with. Hopefully.
Who knows? Yeah.
But hopefully. But yeah, obviously, we're kind of going back to the government, obviously, I think.
Yeah.
I would hope, obviously, when is the next general election? Is it 20?
Like 4 years.
I swear it's 22.
No, because I remember always thinking it was every 4 years, but I think that's America. I think it was every 5 years, and it was only last year. He hasn't even been in a year yet, and this man's caused this heaven.
Before we talk, I quickly kind of talk about, because you know the US election, I think it's beginning of next week. Yeah, might even be.
I think it's next week. I think it's like Monday, Tuesday.
Might know by the end of next week, possibly even like early next week. I'd say obviously with this, I hope he wouldn't get elected again. He's obviously not as bad as Trump, but just the way they lied about everything, kind of. There's obviously someone somewhere has benefited greatly out of.
Yeah, I think I saw someone saying, like, oh, I think it's like millionaires got richer. I think, like, even I think during the pandemic, there like a huge increase in billionaires and stuff like that. Like,
Jeff Bezos.
Mad.
Jeff Bezos, for example. Amazon.
Yeah.
He's.
And so far, I get it. It makes sense because obviously, if you haven't, like, you're going to be using Amazon. If you can't go to the shop, you're going to use that more often. But,
do you know what? Like, it's peak because that guy is like, but his business model is just so good. Like, it just makes sense for him to just keep getting richer. Like, as it just makes sense.
To be fair, I get when people are like sticking up for rich people, like, oh, they've worked for it. However, I do also get like there is a point where you have too much money, like you're never going to spend it in your lifetime. I get you've created it for like generations, but like there's generations and it's like
Yeah, this is
for
like
all eternity, your whole descendants are never going to need to work ever.
by the time he's finished, like he'll like the money he's accumulated will be too just yeah, as you said, like no one in any
At this
lifetime.
point, it's already too big. He can never spend all that money. Like I remember seeing somewhere like, oh, if he like ended world like hunger. I don't quite understand how that works. Obviously, like, I know they say like a certain amount of money. Like he would
Yeah.
still have way too much money anyways. Like, because obviously, when you think of a billion, you're like if someone's like, oh, 1 billion, like you don't think it's that much. But then when you actually realize how much a billion actually is, it's like 100 million. It's like
It's a lot,
spend like 100 million in their life anyways. Do you know what I mean? So to have 100 of those. Well, he's got like what, 146 billion or some shit like that.
what he's gonna do, I would probably, I don't know, maybe he's gonna try and obviously, I don't know, go for some kind of power. Like, I don't know what he's gonna do, but obviously, with that kind of money.
I don't think the rich people, I don't think anyone that's a billionaire really wants power. Because I think they know they've got so much power anyways. Like if they wanted to influence politics, they could easily do it. Do you know what I mean?
He
Like
probably does.
they have more money than like what Jeff Bezos is like the richest man on earth. Like he's probably got more power than like Donald Trump, Boris Johnson and stuff. Like realistically, if he wanted to make stuff happen, he probably could.
Yeah,
Do you know
100%.
what I mean?
He's got the money to pay anyone to do anything.
Yeah. So
But yeah,
that's
obviously
why I
with.
don't think he would ever go for like presidency or anything like that, because obviously what's like unless you really want to be a president, I can't see the point in it to me. Like
It's just
he
power,
knows
like
he's got.
with see with like Donald Trump now. He's probably now. You know what it is with Trump coming. Let's talk about the U.S. elections now quickly. With him, I think he was just a puppet. What he's yeah for people to play with basically, and he was there just to implement what more powerful people than himself wanted basically for that country.
Yeah,
Was he?
I think that's always the case in. I think that's the case in any politics. Like, we look at Boris Johnson, but there's obviously someone that Boris has got to please. Like, he knows he's got to continue to please the middle class people. I feel like the algorithm is just clear. Like, working class people fall for most things. I'm not gonna lie, like because they always want like when you're working, it's not even like that you're thicker. It's just generally like you always want better for yourself. So if you're working class, all they need to do is just promise there's better. But like, if you got to the point where you're middle class or you're rich, like upper class, like. You can't just always constantly promise me like more money because it doesn't actually affect me that much. Like, I need other stuff to work for me more. If that makes sense. And I also need you to keep the people that are below me further down so I stay wealthy. If that makes sense. So it's not like the like working class are more like money motivated than I say even the rich people. They know that they will get their money at any point, but it's more in the interest for us not to get money. If that makes sense.
We see, like, so what, like, I'm thinking, obviously, I'm hoping Biden will win this one purely because
Yeah.
he can't. He, I
I
think he's trying to increase, obviously, how much the average Black American and Hispanic American is earning. I think that's something that he's trying to do. I think he's trying to, obviously, as well, help kind of obviously climate change, and
Yeah.
kind of just the general economy, I think, but,
I
I
mean,
don't. That's just. That could be lies, but that's. I think that's kind of what he's trying to do, or says he's.
yeah, I mean, I feel like, in my opinion, he's just the better of two evils, and not in the reverse. Like, in truth, I really don't care about American politics. So I do think like there's no way I can influence it, if that makes sense. I can't vote, so there's no point in me like worrying about it too much. However, I do have the mindset that Biden was technically vice, well, not technically, he was vice president for 8 years under Obama. So in the nicest way, I'm not being funny, but you know when everyone was complaining about Trump and like, oh, he's doing nothing with police reform. It was also like he inherited that from Obama, who also didn't do much either. Like a lot of the people you're talking about was under Obama, this happened. So now Biden's saying it as well. He had time to do it. Like he was the second most powerful person in that country. He had influence on Obama. Obama didn't do it. He didn't do it. So you can't then all the time get mad at Trump. That's like, do you know what I mean?
Yeah, no, it makes sense. It does make sense. But Trump is obviously
Yeah, he's a fucking prick.
he stoked the fire with the racial tensions between white and Black people in America. So he's made
Think
it
that,
worse.
well, that's how he got into power, I think. Like, does that make sense? Like, he knew, I think, yeah, he followed, like, what's always worked is just dividing people. And the easiest way to divide people is through race.
Yeah,
Because your race is clear cut, basically, isn't it?
or
Like,
as we said, or as you said earlier, with how you said kind of with the conservatives, they make people feel like they are middle class when they're not. I think that as
yeah.
well, people think we're
But
being conditioned or brainwashed into thinking that actually
But to be fair, I don't think that's the. I don't think that's your winning formula, because you never know how people might perceive that, if that makes sense. But with race, it's the easiest thing, because people generally just know you get allocated your race basically at birth, don't you?
Yeah.
So you generally just fall into it. Like, obviously, there will be the people that will like could obviously go as like white passing, or like they could pass something else. But for the majority of people, if you want to like win something, you separate by race first, and then you use the class system, because I think that's your. I think your class system is like the guaranteed, like.
Yeah.
I think it's just like icing on the cake, if that makes sense. But like, your actual cake would be separate people through race and make. I think the easiest thing, especially in Western societies, is not even, like, I suppose it works in any society, is to make like the majority feel like they're about to be outnumbered. So like, white people are a constant fear of like at black people, Asian people, like your European people, like your Polish people.
Yeah.
So as long as you just offer them and say like, literally what the UK government did is like, oh, well, I suppose it started with black people, like, oh, the blacks are coming here to take our jobs and stuff. So that's when they hated them, even though, like, essentially the people from the Caribbean and Africa was the reason why the NHS, like, survived.
Yeah, yeah.
Then they the Indians, and then all the Asians, I suppose. And then, who did it? I suppose then it was, like, the Europeans now, yeah.
European.
Then, yeah. So, like, if you look at the history, there's always been someone for
yeah, the British people. It's a political tool more time to just basically, brainwash people into thinking they're losing control, but they're really not.
Yeah.
And if you go to 90% of the country, like, it's purely white British, so I don't really know why they're worried.
I think it's just well known. As long as you make people feel like they're about to lose control and that you're the person that could steer them back into control, it's easy to get people on your side.
Yeah, like, that's true.
And I think that works in all lives. It's not even in politics. Like, if someone feels like they're losing control and you're the person that looks like you can like step in and help them, they generally gravitate towards you. Do you know what I mean? That's how you normally select a leader in like anything.
I think that's why, like, see, going on to kind of what we're going to talk about with Corbyn.
Yeah,
they stoked that so well with the anti-Semitism and
100%.
As we talked about a little bit earlier, the way, obviously, I think I can't speak for the Jewish community at all, and I wouldn't want to, and I wouldn't want to kind of excuse anything
a little bit,
That I don't actually know what the full story is in terms of what the situation of anti-Semitism in the Labour is, but
it is a bit confusing.
I do believe, obviously, he kind of Corbyn was used as the scapegoat for that in that situation.
Yeah,
just purely so. Yeah.
I think the Conservatives realised, because what? The last vote we did, we've done so many fucking votes, it's ridiculous.
Yeah.
It was with Theresa, who almost lost to Jeremy Corbyn. And I think they obviously realised, like, Jeremy Corbyn got the youth on his side. But I think they realised that they were going to run the risk again of losing to him. So what's the easiest way to get people to, like, hate him? And I think we established this with, like, I was going to say Stormzy, Wiley. Remember when he did the anti-Semitic comments and, like, how quick that managed to backfire? For what he was saying, they probably realised, like, oh, if we say, oh, he's being, like, there's racism to black people, like, the black people aren't going to kick up because we're like, oh, cool, that's suspected. The Asian people probably aren't going to kick up if you said it as well. But you know who are going to kick up are the Jewish people. Not just because, I don't know, but from, like, what we were saying, like, a lot of them do seem to have quite a lot of power.
Yeah.
They do have a lot of influence, I suppose, and that's just a fact.
I did see it was on Channel... It was either on BBC or Channel 4, I can't remember which one, but it was, like, a Jewish guy.
Yeah.
Just saying how he's angry because they've used anti-Semitism as a kind of a tool just to basically run an agenda and get Corbyn suspended.
100%.
I don't really know. Like, obviously, as we said, we don't really know the kind of full situation within the Labour.
Yeah, I don't know.
But it just kind of, obviously, I think it's a bit what annoys me as a black person and yourself as well. Obviously Boris Johnson and many people within the Conservative Party have got away with saying some very racist things and never really been held accountable for it. That the whole centerpiece of Corbyn's kind of I don't know what you'd call it was anti-Semitism, basically.
Yeah,
and it's just that kind of is a bit frustrating to see that one type of discrimination is taken that seriously, but another is kind of swept under the carpet. I think,
and I don't think that's anything to do with. That's not anything to do with like the Jewish community. I think, again, like I was saying, I think they are using scapegoat because I think that's the only one that they know. British people generally were like, that's disgusting. Because obviously, what happened in the war, with politics and stuff, like that's still pretty fresh. They talk about it every year, like with Remembrance Day. So if you're saying like, oh, they're doing it again, like you hint that, oh, like people are still being really racist to Jews.
I think that's the only one that's, yeah, like, I think it's just clear that, like, we've seen that's the only one that's really going to get a rise out of people.
Yeah, yeah.
Make people hate them. The only one that's going to, realistically, before Black Lives Matter, anything that was happening that was racist, like, they didn't talk about Boris Johnson at all, like, any of his previous comments. So they just knew that if they said, oh, the race, the Labour government's racist to black people, any other race, it wasn't going to work. Like, the news was just skipped over it. But as soon as they hear Jewish people, like, again, like I said, I don't know if it is because, like, Jewish people are in the power where they're like, well, cool, you're affecting me now. Because I do suppose there are quite a lot of Jewish people in power, to be fair. But I suppose, again, you could equally...
I don't think it obviously just came down to... that's obviously a big factor, but I think with the election and with John's role, I think we said earlier with kind of why they were voted in, is Corbyn kind of offered something, a possibility of actual, like, improvement in people's lives, and for some reason people just could not take the possibility of that happening. And the thing is,
but what he offered, I don't think it was, when you say some people, it generally was the middle class couldn't stand it. Like, anyone that wasn't working class, the working class, like I said, it's just, I think they go along with whatever they're told. Because generally, like, what I think Corbyn was offering would have, like I said, like, to get, like, the middle class and upper class people to vote, you need to make sure that the working class stay down, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
So by saying, oh, I'm going to make everything a bit more equal for people and put the rich people at a worse disposition, it was a no-brainer. Like, they were always going to get people. That's why I don't think it's not even down to the Jewish people. It's down to the people that control the media and stuff. Even if they're not Jewish, like, they're technically middle class or upper class.
Yeah.
They're not promote a party that's generally going to affect them. Like, very rarely anyways. So for Corbyn to say, like, he's going to help the working class to actually, like, make everything a bit more equal, it was like a no-brainer. There was, like, even if they didn't like Boris Johnson, they were never going to support someone that was going to put them out of a worse position.
Yeah, the thing is, the thing is with obviously that as well is that, yeah, as you said, with the media being led by the middle class as well, yeah, he was never going to win. It was a terrible kind of, and it just annoys me. Like, why? And the thing is, yeah, we've seen half of basically what Corbyn was offering being given during coronavirus. Like,
yeah, that's
like helping people with less money. The money is clearly there somewhere.
Yeah, right. I get, when they're like, oh, money doesn't grow on trees. I'm like, yeah, cool, we get that. But I think it's just mad where you see them find money for certain things.
Yeah.
I think look, where Corbyn was saying he was going to get the money, I think Corbyn was quite clear where he was getting the money. He was like, oh yeah, I don't want to, like, fund the military to the extent that we're already doing. Yeah. I think he was saying, like, stuff about nuclear stuff. All stuff that other parties aren't prepared to lose money on. But he was saying, like, this is where I would get the money from. So, like, I get there's no money magic tree, but this is where I'm telling you I'm getting the money from, because it is there, and I don't believe that it needs to be spent on that. Because he's going to reallocate sources that have already got the money.
Yeah.
He wasn't saying, like, I'm going to find money. Like, how Boris promised that he was going to get the money from Brexit. Like, Boris was generally, like, promising more, like, random things.
I just don't understand why people want to suffer, and, like, people are so angry about the possibility of people actually having a better life. It doesn't make sense to me.
I think it's just because you automatically think your life's going to be affected.
Yeah.
I think people don't care as long... you can see it, like, now, even with lockdown, and, like, lockdown that's happening again, like, people are running into supermarkets looking out for themselves.
Yeah.
I suppose that's mainly human nature, because you're obviously... I don't think anyone's going to put themselves in a worse position just to help someone else out. Like, I think, yeah, that's just... I think that's pretty standard, like...
No,
you're going to put yourself at advantage to help.
I don't think it would have taken a lot more, like, say, maybe a slight rise in taxes, or maybe a slight kind of, do you know what I mean? A slight inconvenience to your life could have really improved the masses, but clearly that was
I think, yeah, I think it's the society we live in that we're all very pretty selfish, like...
Yeah.
I'd say, like, the younger people, like, our age are probably less selfish. And that's why, again, I say the work class people are probably, like, the least selfish people. Like, they have the least, but they will give the most, if that makes sense. Like, it's not government that's running to help these charities. It's literally your ordinary working class people. Whether they believe that they're, like, pseudo-middle class, where they believe they're actually middle class, but they're not. It's the people that generally have the least society that are willing to help the most.
Yeah, no, it's true. Obviously, with Rashford coming from that background himself, but... I think, like, with this new lockdown, like, it's just, I feel sorry for people. Obviously, there's more jobs are going to go, and it's just going to be one of those things. I don't, the government are completely fucked in that. Like, it just pisses me off, but it's what it is.
They're generally using us as pawns, which I think is annoying because I think a lot of people aren't seeing it. But I think actually, no, I said a lie. I think a lot of people are seeing it, even with like the ELs help out. They're generally letting us come out of lockdown too quickly to help the economy and help themselves rather than thinking, right. Because I don't quite understand, in my opinion, if I was in government, I would just say, I'll do what New Zealand did and just lock it down. Because generally, when you open back up, you're not going to be constantly closing down. But what Boris Johnson's doing is like, how do you make money quickly to recuperate the losses that we've just lost from, like, what, furlough? The EL to help out as well, I suppose. Like, that's obviously created a lot of money for the economy, but also the government now needs to make up the £10 that they're subsidising. But that's, again, like we said at the beginning, like, they keep opening up early at points where it works. They know, like, they knew during summer people wanted to go out, so what was the easiest thing to do in August? To let people go out and eat. Even though the cases are rising, they're like, we don't care. We're just putting them back into lockdown.
But
they just phased it in this time. They just did it by tiers. Because I always think it's mad. Like, I don't quite understand how the South wasn't getting affected as much as the North. I was thinking...
It wasn't. But it was just because the centre of the economy is in London, so...
Yeah, literally. I think, like we said before, I think I said it to you, we said it like last podcast. If you close London down, you've already got a minute, then everywhere surrounding London needs to get shut down. So, like, you're Reading, you're Kent, you're Essex. But I remember seeing somewhere saying, like, it was the South that provided most money. Like, obviously, yeah, it is the South that provides most money. So there's like a lot of other places up north that take more from the economy than they put in. That's obviously just because, like, where the work is and stuff. Yeah. So if you close down, you've already got to close Reading down, which is like a big commute hub into London, because people can't come in and out of London to work. But generally, that's what people do on a normal day-to-day basis. Kent, you can't have people going in between those two places. So you probably lose, like, the majority of the workforce anyway, because most people around these areas live or work in London or, like, surrounded somewhere in London.
Sense. So obviously, they made sure they kept this area, these areas anyway, open for the longest. And now...
If anything, I reckon we've gone back into lockdown as a national thing, because they've now, like, got to the point where, like, we can't keep ignoring what's happening in London and around London.
Yeah.
So there's no point saying we'll put London into tier three and then, like, the surrounding areas, because you basically admit at that point the country needs to go into lockdown, because these are the most populated areas. There's no reason, if the most popular areas are getting it's bad, your smaller areas that you've closed down as well, you basically just admitted the country needs to go back into lockdown, if that makes sense.
Yeah, 100%. Like, it's just, I think they said today as well, like, they're going to extend it as well, so it's just not looking...
Yeah. I mean, look what happened last time. They said, what, it was going to be a month, and then...
That was the longest time. That was horrible.
I mean, realistically, we haven't really been out of lockdown. They've literally just let us go out. They've made it seem like a restaurant is the biggest, you know.
Yeah, it might as well, like, just kept it
locked off. True, but it's really not.
They really should have just kept it locked off for long. And
yeah. I think everyone's under this mindset, like, yeah, lockdown was hard first time for, like, a lot of people. But had you just kept us in, say, for instance, you had just kept us in, like, this whole time, we would probably been out of lockdown by now. Like, look at how New Zealand handled it. I think it was the only time that you could have literally just said to close the borders, as they love to say, was now. Because there was no reason for people to be coming into England for a holiday, and there was no reason for people to go out of England for a holiday.
That's why,
like, again, if it's a real emergency, like, say someone in your family died.
Yeah, fair enough.
Well, like, it was a real emergency, but, like, 90% of the things weren't a real emergency. Yeah. There was no reason for people to go now.
And, you know, Australia, they've, they haven't, I think they've not reported any new cases.
So yeah, now,
but they've been yeah, they haven't let people in the country. That's why.
Which the thing is, and it's not like a racial thing. Like, oh, they're not letting us in because of, like, our race or, like, the country we're from. It's just generally because, like, you want the best. You're meant to do the best for your country, as like politicians. So why can you not just see closing it down instead of letting people in? Even if it was only for, like, a few months, would have worked out better for the economy. Because then, like, I feel like every country should have just done that. It just made more sense. Cause that's the only way I feel like you can easily get rid of something.
It's through containing it. It doesn't make sense at all. At all. Like, nothing at all. But that is life. But yeah, anyway, we could talk about this and complain all day. But yeah, that's another episode.
They're not going to change it, yeah.
Another episode of the On Record podcast. Back again, probably to talk about a lot of nothing next week, as we're not going to go anywhere for the course.
Back in lockdown, anyway.
But yeah, we'll keep something for you lot to listen to during that time, anyway. But yeah, peace and respect.
Over.